Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Rudin today on The Mark Rudin Show. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Tuesday. President Trump is talking up in Warren, Michigan. We were going to check in on him real quick, talking about his first 100 days.
Not many. But remember who those grandstanders were and vote them the hell out of office, okay? Will you do that? Vote them out of office. You know, they do it morally, they're morally bound. You know what the answer is? If you don't get it, you're going to have the highest tax increase in history instead of the greatest tax cut in history. If the Democrats prevail on this bill, you get a 58% tax increase. Would you like that? These are the Democrats. But I've never seen all the years they campaign, we will raise your taxes. I say, this country has gone crazy.
So that's President Trump. He is talking up in Warren, Michigan, and talking about obviously highlighting the fact that he wants his big, beautiful bill passed, and he wants to get this thing done. Otherwise, we are going to have the largest tax increase that we have seen. We have got Dwayne Patterson on the air with us. He is at hotair.com and Dwayne's World Podcast. Dwayne, how are you, man?
Councilman, great to make your acquaintance.
How about that?
I think we're probably near the same vintage, I would guess, or kind of in the same. We've got close to the same amount of tree rings, and I don't think we've ever seen 100 days like we've seen, have we?
I don't remember 100 days like this. You know, it's funny, getting to talk to reporters who cover D.C. and have covered for a while. I got the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to talk to Major Garrett, who's been in D.C. for a very long time.
Yep.
And I said, have you ever seen this much happen? And he said, no. And everybody that I talked to has never seen a first 100 days like this. You know, you use things like flooding the zone, drinking from a fire hose, use whatever example that you want. I don't think anybody has ever tried to squeeze this much into the first 100 days is what Donald Trump has done. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Absolutely not. I've been in this game doing radio since 95, so I've seen, you know, 30 years roughly of all this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, people that are, you know, next generation of communicators, whether it's in TV, radio, or podcasting, or wherever this goes down the road, a generation or two down the road, guys like you and me are going to be telling the next couple of generations that this was the glory years. It doesn't get any better than this.
If you're covering politics, this is amazing because you always have something new to talk about. You know, we were talking with a reporter earlier today and just talking about the fact of, like, where are we on tariffs? And we are on that. And Jeff Murdoch said at the Washington Post, he said, you know, I hate to give you an answer because by the time I say it, it's going to change. So
right. You
never know where things are going. You know, one of the things I'm curious to get your take on, is we talk about, you know, Trump's biggest accomplishment of the first 100 days. One of the things that I think is a major accomplishment of is what he's been able to do to the Democrat Party and how bad their first 100 days have been.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm doing. As soon as I finish this, I'm going to go home and change clothes and get ready to tape my Duane's World podcast. It's going to drop tomorrow. And I'm going to spend the hour in halves. The first half is Trump's 100 days, which is I could spend a whole hour and a half on just his accomplishments. It's just tremendous. But then I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to do the Democrats' 100 days, because Donald Trump has gotten them to walk the plank and take 20% issues to his 80% that the country cares about. And they are willingly happy to take the 20% side of an argument because Trump's on the other side. And they think that's all they need.
Did you ever think that you would see a political party take open positions to argue on behalf of people who are not only in this country illegally, but they want to bring them back from another country? And they are spending all this time to go to places like El Salvador and say, send this illegal alien who has committed crimes and it is a gang member back to my country. I never would have thought you would see something that crazy, but yet here we are. And they're lining up to make the flight.
Even James Carville, of all people, is saying, we have to make this illegal or this deportation thing. This is what we as Democrats have to draw a line in the sand on. This is what we have to support. Councilman, I know you probably have not seen the backgrounds of all 100 faces they put up on the White House lawn of the deportations. You remember all these blurred faces that CNN wouldn't show, but the White House put up on the lawn all these yard signs of the people that are no longer residents of this country?
Exactly.
Just the first five of the 100. I won't bore you with all 100. Just the first five. Here's what they have been not just charged with, but convicted of. Okay, I won't even give you the names. I won't give you the ages. You don't even need to know it. The first one, convicted for murder first degree, 2 counts of assault second degree. Second one, conviction for rape. Third, conviction for murder and aggravated battery. Fourth, conviction for sexual assault, sex offense against child, obstructing police and driving under the influence. Conviction for aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor in Illinois. I mean,
wow.
This is who the Democrats are saying, but they need to stay here because Trump.
I just don't get that. I mean, that's amazing that he's able to get them to take these positions. And now I keep seeing these things about who's going to be the next leader of the Democrat Party, and they're rallying behind.
I'm staking my claim for David Hogg. I want he's the only Democrat standing, except he may not make it through the week because the DNC is going to take him out.
Oh, I completely think the DNC is going to take him out. But AOC, the old bartender that we made fun of, and
yep.
I love the fact that, and I've only got like a minute here. Sorry about that. We're going to check in with Annie Fry, who's actually covering politics today in D.C., who works for us, who's there. I just think it's amazing that AOC has become the de facto leader of the Democrat Party at this point. And that kind of says everything about the free fall that they are in right now.
Absolutely. The Republicans are still kind of a flaming hot mess in some ways, but the Democrats are going to give the next couple of election cycles to them because they cannot figure out how to walk out of a box canyon they've placed themselves into.
It's pretty amazing. Hey, Duane, how can we find your podcast?
DuaneWorld.com, DuaneWorld.com, and that's the place for my podcast and the links to the hot air columns, everything I do there.
Excellent. We appreciate you taking some time with us. I'm sorry it was so short today, but I look forward to have a follow-up conversation with you down the road if you're up for that.
I absolutely am, and I will yield to the president anytime.
We appreciate your time. That is Duane Patterson from HotAir.com, Duane's World podcast. He's getting ready to change and record that. But we are going to get to the first lady herself of St. Louis 97.1 Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Annie Fry is joining us.
Annie Goes to Washington is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage. Same or better rates, no closing costs, fast closing. And by Grasser Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Call Grasser Electric.
Annie Fry, how are you?
It's the irony of ironies that I am laying in my hotel room, finally, just made it back in the last 10 minutes, watching Donald Trump on the TV in Michigan. Isn't that great?
How has this trip been? This is it sounds like it's amazing. By the way, I loved your interview with Eric Schmidt today.
Thank you. I'm glad that was we were able to turn that around. It's been so amazing. A huge thank you. You just played that little piece of audio there, both to Grasser Electric and to Stewie of Stewart's American Mortgage for sponsoring this trip and making it possible. I hope that they can see the value and that the listeners can get the value of what it's been like to be here in Washington, D.C. I did two press briefings yesterday morning, Monday morning at the White House in the press briefing room with Carolyn Leavitt and her special guest, Tom Homan, keying in on the Trump 100 days efforts for border security and immigration reform. And then this morning I was able to attend the press briefing and we had the Treasury Secretary Bessent in there. And I didn't get to ask a question, but I was just honored to be in there and to see how all of this works. And I was able to talk to a lot of the people who are in the press, Mark Meredith, who we have on the station as Fox News TV guest that a lot of the shows have on. And he was so kind. It's really neat to be able to meet some of these people that we see or know of in here reporting and find out they're really cool people. But to be able to, you know, ask questions of reporters that do this for a living and get their take on things. But then also today I was able to go after the press briefing. I knew the president would be at the White House till 2 is when he was supposed to depart on the South Lawn, and he did do a presser from over there, but I elected to go over to the Capitol, and I met, as you mentioned, with Senator Eric Schmidt, and then I met with Congressman Mike Boston. He took me around the Veterans Affairs Committee chambers and showed me where all of that is done and did an interview with him. And then I also spoke with Congressman Darren LaHood, who is from like the Peoria area, I think, of Illinois. And then also with Congresswoman Mary Miller, who is from Southern Illinois. And those two interviews we will air with video on our show tomorrow.
Very exciting. What's been your biggest surprise?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So far?
You know, just the pace. There's a lot of introspection. You know, radio is, people will be like, oh, I don't know how you do it. You talk for 3 hours and you got to you know all these things. Well, I know a lot about a little, and there's a lot that I don't know, that's for sure. But, you know, so I just watch how some of these people work. This is just, it's kind of like a different reality here, that the pace of everything is just in constant motion. And to see the way the wheels of our republic are turning and to understand that the American people are really what is driving the whole thing. One of the conversations I had with Darren LaHood today, which I'll just scoop my conversation a little bit for tomorrow, is, you know, he goes, it's important for people to remember that that American voters realized that they are still in control in the last election. And I think that's a huge takeaway that people are really inspired by, that I think a lot of people on our side thought, you know, we'll never win another election again for various reasons. We'll never win another election again. And that didn't happen. And so there's a bit of a fire and an energy about this city and the movement that's taking place. And you can, you know, of course I'm on the Trump side, I'm on the Republican side. I love what he's doing, but he's doing so much, so fast, and he's got juggling so many things at one time. It's actually, it's nice to see stuff getting done, or at least watching this administration attempt to do really big, really bold things. And today, the 100th day, so great to be at the White House on the 100th day of Trump's second term. It's so cool to see so much in motion, so much to celebrate, at least from my perspective, just this far into the second term.
Well, Dash made sure to say on here, don't come back a liberal after being in Washington, D.C.
What are you doing? I'm here talking to people, turning them to our side.
Don't there you go.
Don't worry about that, Dash.
So what was it like being in there in the briefing room? Like, give people a little sense of, like, what's the energy like? What are people like when you're sitting in there? Do the other reporters talk to each other beforehand while you're just milling around?
I was speaking with, her name is, I think, Mary Margaret. She's from the Daily Wire.
Okay.
And she was kind of telling me how things work. And she's one of the reporters, the Daily Wire. And I think that this should be rectified or changed. But they don't have a seat in the briefing room. But Carolyn Leavitt and the press team for Donald Trump have made it so that they've stuffed people into that room. So if you're an alternative form of media, if you're what they refer to as new media, which is a lot of digital things, the web hosts a ton of people who have a platform that isn't your big, huge network news like Fox or CBS or CNN or whatever. All those people are in the room, but you can tell a lot of the people standing along the wall, like myself, they don't have chairs in there. But I think that there are entities like the Daily Wire that could, in the Trump administration, find a little bit of a shuffling of the way those seats are allocated, maybe on certain days. But there's a lot of jockeying. Like, I got there super early in the morning. The press briefing was Eastern time, 8:30 a.m.
Oh.
I got there at 7 a.m. and that was just because I don't know how long it's going to take to go to security, to get through security. I'd have to process, get to the huge gates there in front of the White House, go into security. They give me a press pass, but I have to wait before I can go through going through an airport, TSA, whatever. I had to wait for an escort to come out of the White House to basically vouch for me that I had a purpose there. And sometimes, you might not be their biggest priority. I can't imagine I was anybody's biggest priority, but sometimes that could take 30 minutes. Sometimes they come right out, but you never really know. So I get there at 7 a.m., finally get in to the press briefing room, probably around 7:30 or so. And then everybody who's on the wall, they line up. So it's like, if you get there early, you're going to get a better position. If you get there early and people in the room have never seen you before, and that was the spot that maybe somebody else tries to get, you might get a dirty look. I didn't look for dirty looks. I don't think I got any dirty looks per se, but it's just, there's a lot of jockeying that goes on. These are very competitive people. It's a huge deal to get the opportunity to ask the press secretary of the administration a question and to have that moment. And, there's a little ego involved in it as well. So it was kind of fun to watch and know, like, I don't have anything to prove here. I don't need to. This is not my future. My future is in the studio that you're sitting in right now. It was just kind of fun to see how that operates. It was a very competitive environment.
Hi, Annie. It's your producer again. How's it going?
Ethan, how are you?
I'm great. I'm good. So I had a question about our old friend who's kind of become a celebrity out there in D.C., Will Scharf. Have you had the opportunity to interact with Will at all, or do you plan on it during your time in D.C.?
So Will and I have texted back and forth at various times over the course of the time I've been out here, and I'm actually going to go have dinner with him in about
nice.
An hour.
So that's great.
Oh, look at you, fancy person.
And I probably owe him dinner because he's the one who helped make us have this opportunity, so I told him to pick the place, and we're going to go. I think we're going to have some Cuban food or something.
Nice.
I don't know. Give
him the love of the Annie Fry Show. Not just you, but also Ryan and Brad and me, because we miss him, but we love obviously seeing everything that he's doing as a part of the administration.
I'll be sure to tell him.
So I know you're wrapping up. What's the rest of your time in D.C. look like?
Well, it's my understanding on the press. So every day they send out the president's schedule, and then with each event that happens, it'll be like open press, closed press, travel pool, White House pool. Open Press was listed under Donald Trump's return to the White House tonight at 9:15.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm going to go out and try to go through all of that at that point. I'm going to ask Will if that would be worth my time, because I got an early flight tomorrow. And honestly, I just walked from my hotel is in Georgetown, which is northwest of everything, the White House, the Capitol, or whatever. But it's a nicer area, and I was encouraged to check that place out since I'm out here by myself, that it was a good neighborhood, nice neighborhood to stay in and everything. And so I think, if I don't know, unless Will's like, oh no, you gotta go, I'm probably done. And then as soon as I get back from dinner, I'm gonna continue to crank out some of the pictures and the videos and the photos that I've taken. So make sure if you want to see some of the stuff that we've done already, that's up. The Andy Fry YouTube channel is a great location to check out, so you can watch some of those interviews, some of the things that I've seen so far. And then, of course, the Andy Fry Show Facebook page and my Andy Fry Show X account. I'd love to have people follow us, subscribe if they haven't.
So when are you back on the radio?
Tomorrow.
You're back here tomorrow? Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
You've got to just be dragging tail at this point.
I didn't really know yesterday where I was going to be, when I was going to be there. And I was so worried that I would, eat a meal and miss something. So I, didn't eat yesterday until probably about 8:30 at night. It was the first meal that I had yesterday. And today I was a little more sensible about that, planning my day and everything. So I was a little worn out yesterday, but I think I kind of did that to myself. Today I've been doing a little bit better, but a lot of walking.
So
it's a beautiful day out here. I heard it's a little... The weather's a little bad out there.
It's been raining. It's nice now, but it was pouring down rain earlier. We've kind of had those storms. Ethan was talking about had a tree that almost fell in southern Illinois. Was that your grandmother's house?
Almost hit my grandma's house. Big old tree. So she's all good.
Grandma.
Yeah. Grandma's okay, though. So it's all good. alert is okay. Hey, I missed the fact of... How did all this happen? Who do we have to thank for Andy Fry being in D.C. today?
Well, pretty much Brad Range, my producer, of course. It was maybe just a few weeks into the new term, the second term. Carolyn Leavitt came out and said that they were going to shake up the press room, that they were going to open it to new media, and they wanted people who wanted the opportunity to ask questions of the White House to apply for credentials. And when she was listing off all of the people who they wanted to welcome into the briefing room, one of the things she said was local radio hosts.
Ah.
And so then Brad and Ryan and maybe Ethan at the time were like, yeah, you got to try. Why not try? So we applied, and then Brad continued to put the pressure on and I think connected with Will Scharf, and I think we had a good word put in for us. And, sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think that I was the benefactor of that. And hopefully I made everybody proud and being able to bring a behind the scenes look and a little closer look at what's going on here in Washington, D.C. as it pertains to the folks in the St. Louis metro area.
Well, I can't wait to listen tomorrow. I'm sure you're going to be exhausted, but probably excited as well, because I can't wait to hear about all your experiences. Like I said, the interview that you did with Senator Schmidt, I thought was really great. I mean, it really talked about what's important, the disconnect that you can have, because I'm sure just in the time that you've been there and seeing this, to the listeners' joke about don't turn into a liberal while you're there, it really is a different atmosphere. And you can really, if you spend a lot of time in D.C., you can change your perspective, because everything, like the senator talked about, the conversations that happen in D.C. are not the conversations that happen in Missouri or the conversations that happen in Illinois. They're so different than what we have back here. And it's really easy if you don't pay attention to become a political person who gets completely jaded about what's important and what's not. And I thought your interview that you talked about with him really focused on, hey, these are the priorities and you've got to stay grounded to not get lost in sort of the, for lack of a better term, the DC cesspool that is there.
Well, Mike, I think that for me, the kind of sparkle of the news and politics. I call it Sparkle. I'm sure other people would call it something else. But, you know, it's if you care about it and you follow it, it's entertaining. It's much like sport, really.
It is.
There's people to cheer for. There's people to cheer against. There's reasons you cheer for something. It's passionate. A lot of times it's generational. But it's super easy to get so wrapped up in cheering for the red team that you forget why you're cheering for the red team, or maybe the blue team, whichever team is your team. And when I'm here and I am experiencing the movement that is taking place here, and all of these people have been displaced from their homes to represent the people who are at their home. And I'll tell you what, I was sitting in the press briefing room yesterday and I was waiting to find out if we were going to get called into the Oval Office to watch the president sign executive orders. I was sitting in the center of the press briefing room in an open and I was watching my son's baseball game on Game Changer. And you know, I was like, how ironic that if I could snap my fingers and be anywhere in the world, it would have been at a baseball field where my son is playing high school baseball in Southern Illinois. Like that's really where I want to be. And that's why people should go to Washington, D.C. That's why people should serve. It's to make sure that the people who are back home in their places, wherever they are being served by a country that keeps them free and keeps them prosperous. And so that kind of was a driving force behind my conversations that I had today. Like, what is this really about? It's not about the red team scoring a point. That, I mean, that stuff hardly even matters. It's really about the people who are at home and the people who need to not feel ground, you know, drilled into the ground by over-regulatory government that wants to tell them how to do everything, when to do it, and really just oppressive. So it was an interesting conversation to have with the folks who I was able to talk to today.
Well, thanks for letting us right along with you, if you will. Looking forward to all the stuff that you're going to put up on YouTube. Looking forward to hearing a recap of everything tomorrow of what you have going on. Hope you enjoy your last night. Going to dinner with Will would be a big highlight. So super jealous of you for being able to do that. Safe travels, and we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
And a huge thank you to Stewart's American Mortgage and Grasser Electric for making this possible. It truly is an experience of a lifetime for me, and I'm hoping that I can share all of that with everybody who's listening right now, and it wouldn't be possible without Stewart's American Mortgage and with Grasser Electric. So thank you to them. Thank you to you guys for having me on as well to share.
Thanks for making the time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you soon, Mike.
That's Annie Fry. As Dash said, our little girl is growing up. Annie Fry goes to Washington. That's exciting. Hey, there's some other exciting news. I started off talking today about the 33rd Annual Police Officers Memorial Prayer Breakfast that I got the opportunity to attend. Our police officers need to go through training on a regular basis, and there is a ribbon cutting that is happening Friday of a brand new law enforcement training center, and we're going to talk with Lieutenant Dan Gibbons of the St. Charles City Police Department about that on the other side. It's the Mark Reardon Show. Mike Helam sitting in for Mark today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM. So we had some rainfall happen in Cincinnati, and the Cardinal game has been postponed. So we are going to have a doubleheader that's going to happen tomorrow. Let's play two. That's going to happen tomorrow for the Cardinals. Want to welcome into the show Lieutenant Dan Gibbons of the St. Charles City Police Department. Lieutenant, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Hey, I really appreciate you making time today. I was talking about when I first started the show today, got the opportunity to attend the St. Louis Area Police Chiefs Association 33rd Annual Police Officer Memorial Prayer Breakfast, which, by the way, is the longest title I think I've ever seen for an event. That is a long one. But got the opportunity to see Mayor Borgmeyer, Mayor Hennessy there today. For those of you who don't know, those are the mayors of the city of St. Charles and the city of O'Fallon. And we were talking about the fact that the advanced skills training in law enforcement is getting ready to open on Friday, speaking of another long title. So CASEL, which you talked about, the Center for Advanced Skills Training in Law Enforcement, is a brand new center that is opening up Highway 79 in O'Fallon. It is a joint venture between the city of O'Fallon and the city of St. Charles. And the shooting range is actually, we're going to cut the ribbon on that thing on Friday, aren't we?
Yes, we're very excited to have the range completed for the Center for Advanced Skills Training in Law Enforcement. And this is just phase one and two phases for this training center. So it's nice that some of it's open and we're going to be able to get to use it right away.
So tell me a little bit about the history of how did this come together? I know there's been talk about, you know, law enforcement training centers around the area. This one's actually been in the works for a few years, hasn't it?
Correct. Yes, this all started in the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. And it really came down to St. Charles City Police Chief Jinx and Major Myers from the O'Fallon Police Department. Just two guys that have known each other, worked together for over 30 years, both realizing that there was such a need in our region for police training and deciding to go to their cities and see if they could resolve that problem. And it is such a large need in our area that the cities agreed, and we decided to partner up. And construction on our range began in early 2024, just ended March of 2025, and just the beginning for this training center.
So tell me a little bit about this range. For people who don't know, this is a long-range shooting range, right?
Correct, yeah. So a lot of ranges that police officers go to are 25 to 50 yards. This is going to be up to 200 yards. It is a outdoor range. So obviously that's pretty needed for police officers. A lot of officers get in these kinds of uses of force when they're outside. So it's important that officers train in the elements, you know, hot, cold, sunny, dark. They need to be able to train in the environment in which they are working. So it's important that this is an outside range, and we do have up to 200 yards. And the thinking behind that is if you are unfortunately in a school or something and you have to make one of those shots and you need to be accurate, then you need to be able to train at such a long distance. So this outdoor range is 200 yards. It is 20 lanes of cross. And we're just going to be able to do a lot with it. We can even bring cars onto it and practice training around sitting in the cars. Very important that we have this outdoor range.
That's a unique thing of being able to do that. And I guess having an outdoor range allows you to do something like that. And people see videos on TV and on the internet on a regular basis, I guess, where you see traffic officers who are involved in traffic stops that turn into shooting incidents. And that's something that you probably, I guess, in a normal shooting range area, you wouldn't be able to prepare for that, would you?
Yeah, so in our county, there's only one police range for the entire county. It's the St. Charles County Training Center, and they've been good partners with us for a very long time, and that's where all the agencies in St. Charles County go to train. But if, you know, there's a lot of police officers, there's a lot of training time that's needed, and so sometimes it can be difficult to get all the time that we need. But it is important that we go to a police range. If we don't get enough time, then we got to go to private ranges, and those private ranges don't allow the dynamic kind of training that we do perform. So it is important that we don't just stand there in the same spot. We need to move. We need to move around obstacles. We need to get inside cars. You know, the saying comes when the time to perform arrives, the time for preparation has passed.
Right.
And so that's something that both agencies have seen the need that, hey, police training is very important, because when there's an emergency, you want well-trained police officers responding to your call. And so that's why these two cities have taken the initiative to be the leaders in the region to make sure that training is available, because these centers, the one that we're building at the center for at the center is there's nothing else around like that. It's going to all be in one shop. We're going to be able to do a lot of things on this property.
That's Lieutenant Dan Gibbons of the St. Charles City Police Department. He's a public information officer, and he's also a board member of the Center for Advanced Skills Training in Law Enforcement. So tell me a little bit about, it's not just a shooting range that's being built there. Obviously, on Friday, you've got a lot of dignitaries that are coming out for the ribbon cutting, but there's a lot more that's going to happen on that campus, isn't there?
Correct, yeah. So we do have the shooting range up and running. But in the future, we're also going to have a EVOC course, which is Evasive Vehicle Operation or Emergency Vehicle Operation course. Now, this course is designed to give officers a training area to operate their vehicles low speed and high speed. This is something that in my 17 years as a law enforcement, I've never even been on one of these tracks, because there's just not I think there's one, maybe two in the state, and that's usually just reserved for the guys that are going to go, the guys and gals that are going to be instructors. So a lot of times agencies are just setting up cones on big parking lots, and that's where they do their emergency vehicle operation course training. This is going to be a full mile course. It's going to have a skid path. It's going to have a working intersection, and it's also going to have a wet condition simulator. And that stuff is just so important because a lot of the things that unfortunately police die from are not only felony assaults, but also traffic accidents. And so we need to get these officers trained appropriately using a course like this before they hit the real world. As a prior field training officer, you know, you get a new recruit that just came out of the police academy and they've had some EVOC training, but nothing like this. I mean, we're gonna have a working intersection where they're going to be able to make those decisions, whether or not they go through that intersection. Do they have to slow at that intersection? Do they need to stop at that intersection? And that's very important to have before you go out in the real world, because that's a split second decision that those recruits are going to have to make that could lead to tragedy if they don't make the appropriate decision. So it's extremely important that they get training on a course like this. Also, the wet condition simulator. Obviously, police officers get into pursuits and conduct all sorts of track-related enforcement when it's raining, and being able to have the advanced skills of knowing how your car is going to operate when you're going that fast in the rain is paramount. So the EVOC course is going to be phenomenal. Very excited to have the EVOC course. We're also going to have classrooms. We're going to have 7 classrooms, and we're going to want to bring in training courses from all over the nation. Currently, if there's a topic that police officers need to go to that isn't local, we have to send officers all over the United States, and that includes airfare and lodging and hotel and food. We want to bring that training here, keep it local, bring that business in, bring that great national training to our facility, and we're going to be able to accommodate with our 7 classrooms. We're also going to have a 2-story simulation house, and that's something where officers are going to be able to practice clearing rooms in an actual environment instead of just simulating it someplace else, but actually being in the building and being able to go into those rooms in a safe environment. We're going to have a canine training area. We're also going to have kennels, and those kennels are going to be for people from outside that are coming to our training center from across the nation. They're going to be able to kennel their dogs at our facility when they go to their hotel for the night. We're going to have a drone training center, and we're also going to have some SWAT training available as well.
Wow, that is a full-service course there. Lieutenant Gibbons, I appreciate you making the time today. And, you know, you were top of mind when I'm at a memorial prayer breakfast this morning and just seeing all the names of the officers that we've lost in the line of duty. And it's one of those opportunities to say to you and to your brothers and sisters in blue, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate the sacrifice that you make. And anything that you guys need in terms of training, I am all about. And I know the majority of people appreciate what you guys do. And we want you to be fully trained up so you can be as safe as you can. Thank you again for taking the time on the radio with us today. And I will see you on Friday.
Thanks, Mike. I truly appreciate it.
We appreciate that. Lieutenant Dan Gibbons of the St. Charles City Police Department, making sure that our men and women in blue have the training that they need so they can be safe and they can get the home to their families, I think is something that all of us want. We are going to wrap up the big show. President Trump is still talking in Michigan. Go figure. That guy could do a 3-hour radio show on his own, and he wouldn't need anybody else to talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. Just got a couple of minutes here to wrap up the big show. Thanks to Ethan and everybody for all your help today. Real quick, getting into our audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I think we've done everything or it's in the process of being done. For instance, the border is in great shape. 99.9% came out again today. 99.9. That I would say that was my number one thing. The economy would be certainly right up there, and I think it's doing great. We were losing billions and billions of dollars a day with trade. And now I have that down to a very low level, and soon we're going to be making a lot of money. We're going to be reducing people's taxes.
So what's the biggest accomplishment of the first 100 days? That's what Donald Trump says. What do you think? Think about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Annie Fry's back tomorrow as well. It's Mike Elam for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.